Good morning, everyone. It's good that you all braved the snowstorm. That's kind of good. It was fine this morning, right? Last night, that was the crazy time. But it's great to be together. Next week, this room is going to look a little different, which is awesome, right? We're all looking forward to that. But I think God wants to continue to prepare our hearts for the time that we are going to be merging, right, with the Lower Westchester ministry. And so what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of a continuation of what we talked about last week. Right, last week we spoke on the proof of our love, or the proof of God's love being evident in our life. This week, what we're going to talk about is something that people who excelled in got their names written in the Bible for. Right? How cool would that be? Like, could you imagine them writing a story about you, about your life, just because you excelled in one area of your walk with God? Well, what is that one area? Let's go to God in prayer. Dad, we are so grateful that we can be here to worship you and to honor you. I pray that you speak through me this morning. Allow our church service to really honor you, to worship you. I pray that you allow us to hear your word, to hear your message, that we take it to heart, that we put it into practice, and that we really live how you have called us to live. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And so what is this quality that God looks at and he says, wow, this is worthy of getting your name in the scriptures for? And that quality is hospitality. The title of our message today is Open Hearts Have Open Homes. Very simple, very easy to remember, right? What's the title of our message? Amen, right? And that's really what we are going to be talking about. But let's pick up here in verse 7. It says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the end of our region is near. No, that's not what it says, right? The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And so he starts off here, Peter, starts off talking about living in such a way that the end of all things, knowing that the end of all things is near. Now, I don't know about you, but when he wrote this about almost, you know, about 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years does not sound like near to me. Maybe some of you have longer lifespans. I don't know. You look real good, though, if you're 2,000 years old. But that's a long time. So why would he tell them that the end of all things is near? Well, that's because God's plan to reconcile all people to himself That's right, to give all people a home with Him in heaven has come into its final stage. We're in the final stage of this plan that God laid out and that He started at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. And so, in retrospect, since the beginning of time, right, or the beginning of creation, the beginning of mankind, 2,000 years, yeah, we're in the final stage, right? The end is near. And why does that matter? When you believe that something is coming, it changes the way that you live. It changes the way that you act, and it changes the way that you treat one another. Right? If you know you have an exam, or you know you have an interview coming up, what do you do? Do you live the same way? No, you prepare for it. Hopefully you prepare for it. And you get ready. Because you know that there's something on the horizon that's right there. And so Peter is saying to us, hey guys, we're at the end here. We're in the home stretch. And so you gotta live with this sense of urgency because Jesus is going to come back. This plan, look, you're just catching the tail end of it. It's like you've walked into a movie at the end and you're just seeing the spoilers. You're seeing the finale. You know it's coming. Maybe you're upset that you missed the beginning. It's okay. There's a book on it. You can read all the other stuff that happened beforehand. Catch yourself up. But God wants us to live in such a way that we know that the end is near. When you think about it, there's another aspect that really determines how we live. And that's our level of hope. Now, if you feel hopeless about something, then you have no urgency to do anything, right? You have no urgency to change, no urgency to act. And I think some of us, right, we're in that place where we just feel like there's no way. God will never accept me. I will never be the follower of Christ that I need to be. And so we end up in this place where we don't move, where we don't act in what we're about and what we're going to talk about after this, because He gives an example of these areas that we should be urgent in. Others of us, we know and we believe, okay, God is coming back and we want Jesus to come back today. We want Jesus to come back faster and faster. Why? Because we know what's waiting for us. Right? When you think about heaven, what do you picture? What comes into your mind? Yeah, there's a sense of peace. Maybe that you have, or maybe you have that picture and you see tons of fluffy clouds. And then as you're like sitting there and as you walk through these fluffy clouds, you see this beautiful pearly gate. You know, you see St. Peter, he's sitting right outside the front door. You know, he's kind of the bouncer, so I don't know, maybe he was the most jacked of the apostles. I know, it's a bad joke, guys. But he's sitting out there, and he's watching, and you just think about, like, there's this image that we have of heaven that's a positive image. Otherwise, none of you would be here. And no one would want to go there. So how do you picture God welcoming you on that day? How do you picture God treating you? Do you picture Him running out to you, grabbing you, holding you in His arms, telling you, well done, good and faithful servant? Saying, I've been watching you. I'm so proud of the man you've become. I'm so proud of the woman that you've become. You know, I saw the trials that you had. I saw the hardships that were in your life. And I saw you persevere. I saw you give everything that you had to one another, to your fellow brothers and sisters. I saw you take a stand and say, I am not going to live the way that the world lives. But you lived to please me. Let me show you your reward. Let me generously display the love that I have for you. Now, I think this is amazing as we look back at this passage here, because it says, and we see, that hospitality and love are deeply intertwined. And the reason we spent that time just now talking about our picture of heaven and what it's like is because, as it talks about here, it says, if anyone speaks, in verse 11, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. And so here's really what we're talking about this morning is that way that you picture God warmly welcoming you is the way that God calls us to treat each other. That's the hospitality that we see in the Bible. That's the hospitality that God calls us to. And it's this is a huge deal throughout the scriptures. I mean, here Paul says, he says, offer hospitality without grumbling. Now, why do you think he has to throw that grumbling part in? Because it's hard. It's not always easy, right? It being hospitable takes energy. As an introvert, for me to be warm to someone, to be welcoming to someone, it's like it drains the life force from me. My fellow introverts in here can understand that, right? You get it. It takes effort. It takes energy to be hospitable. It takes intentionality to be hospitable. And I know I'm not, when I think about being hospitable, that's not a quality or a trait that I feel like I just naturally am. Take this for example. Every time someone invites me over to their house, I naturally feel no sense of, I should probably bring something. That would be a nice thing to do. I'm sure they would appreciate that. Some of you are great at hospitality, and you can't go somewhere without thinking, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, I'm sure they would really like this. They would really love this. Some of you invite people over your house, that you know what their favorite meal is, and you just go out of your way, you prepare it. And so a lot of what we're going to talk about, this is things that I feel like I've had to learn, or things that I'm working on currently in my character. Because I think we as a church, if we're going to be known for anything, it's our hospitality. Right? What does hospitality lead to? Well, in other verses, like in Acts, we see that hospitality, just being hospitable to people, led other people to want to be Christians. That's a big deal. So hospitality plays a big role in not just meeting each other's needs, but also in our evangelistic mission that God has placed on us. Now here was a big deal because to offer hospitality, you are really saving someone a lot of trouble. Why? Because if you were a traveler at the time, the inns that you could stay at were not exactly the most safe. I'll put it that way. And you know when you're driving down the road and you see like a motel or something, you're like, that place looks really sketchy. All of the inns, every hotel back then was really sketchy looking. Okay, I'm sure there were some nice 5-star hotels or some five-star inns. But for the most part, many of them were really sketchy. And so for someone to say, hey, you can stay at my home, was just a breath of fresh air. It was a way of saying, okay, I accept you. You're welcome here. I want you to be with my family. Think about how much trust, those of you who have little, especially those of you who have little kids right now, think about the amount of trust that you're placing in a stranger. Just putting yourself in these shoes to let somebody into your home when you have little kids. Think about the heart that you have to have for someone that you don't know in order to be willing to do that. I think the challenge is sometimes we run into that. We know that we should be hospitable, but then we have these excuses that come up in our hearts. Well, my house is too small. My furniture, it really isn't nice enough to have people over. I don't have those fancy tea sets and china and all that stuff, so they won't really feel welcome in my home without that. My house is a mess. I have too much to clean up. I don't even have time to clean it up. I cannot have people over. Well, it says offer hospitality without grumbling. It doesn't say offer hospitality unless any of those things are a problem. This is a direct command from God. And there's many benefits for the believer to offer hospitality. For example, you want people to appreciate you, offer hospitality. You want God to commend you, offer hospitality. You want Satan to fear you, what can you do? Offer hospitality. Why is that? Because Christian hospitality is a direct stand against the selfish ways of the world. You are literally, by welcoming people into your home, by being warm to them, by being kind to them, you are saying, Satan, I reject your selfish ways, and I'm going to live for God and not for myself. That's a powerful weapon. Guys, I want you to think about this. Did you know that 95% of people who seek counseling or who go into full-time mental health care seek it because of anxiety, depression, and loneliness? 95%. Now, I know that there's a biological component to that, so I don't want to diminish that. But the weapons that we have as a church to fight against those, to fight against loneliness, to fight against anxiety, to fight against depression, we have a powerful weapon in hospitality. Do we not? I mean, think about the first time that somebody took time out of their schedule. Now, it could have been a fellow disciple, it could have been a teacher, it could have been a coach of yours, maybe one of your parents, to just say, you are special to me. You are worthy of my time. The way that God has shown that to us. When you even think about Jesus' example, Jesus made himself poor before he gave everything. So if we want to talk about and debate, well, I don't have anything to give, Jesus actually made himself have less when he gave. Which is pretty astounding when we think about it. And I think this is incredible. I don't think it's not acceptable for one or two of us to excel at this. It's not, right? Because we are one body. So if one member of our body is selfish, then is not the whole body corrupt as well? And so this is a call for all of us. I know many of us are excelling and doing awesome things, being open, being warm, being welcoming. But we can encourage one another to do that as well. Maybe you don't know how. Right? Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know how, I don't even know how to be. We've been talking about hospitality. You've sort of defined it, TJ. How do I be hospitable to the people around us? I think for me, it's funny. There was one day, we were driving on our way to our campus midweek. This was, a month or two ago, probably 2 or 3 months ago. Sure. I'm terrible with time. I always say the other day when it's like months ago. So the other day, we were driving in the car, to midweek. I love our campus midweeks. I love the time that we get to spend together. And we're driving and we all stop in White Plains. We get some food before we go there. And I remember we're sitting in we're driving there, and I'm in the driver's seat. Carrie's in the passenger seat, and we make our way. We go through Five Guys has those like free peanuts and stuff. So grab some free peanuts, and I'm driving, so I don't even have the chance to like open up any of the peanuts to like eat them. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, because I'm just saying this because this is one of the strengths that I know that Carrie has, is she opened up every single one of the peanuts for me so that I could eat them. Isn't that just so sweet? Isn't that just so sweet? Now, why do I say that, guys? I want you to think about this. When you like somebody, think about it. Whether you're interested in somebody now, whether you're pursuing somebody, whether you're in a relationship or you're married. I don't know if you're married. Think about how you wooed your spouse. Back, you know, it maybe many years ago, right? Think about how you wooed your spouse. Think about what you did. Okay, those things that you did, you can do for other people. Just scale them back a little bit. Right? You go above and beyond for the people that you care about. And I think the worst part, and this is kind of the funny thing, is she did, I remember Carrie, she did all that, she opened up all those things, but the thing that made me feel the most loved of that whole evening was she gave me a side hug at the very end, when I said goodbye to her. Now I say that, and I don't know about you, but if any of you read the Five Love Languages book or know about it at all, okay, it talks about them, and the whole premise of it is it talks about loving people in a way that they feel loved. And that aspect comes into hospitality. It's not just enough to love somebody. You have to love them in a way that they feel loved. You know, my main love language is physical touch. You give me a high five. You give me a hug. There's a reason why, you know, in the Bible, when it talks about paradise, it refers to it as Abraham's bosom. It does. Why? Because it's a big old hug. That's a cool, for me, that's an incredible illustration of what life is going to be like in heaven. And what the hospitality of God looks like. So it could be something big, like you could invite somebody over your house. It could be something small, like a hug, like a text message. Like you could even just write somebody a little note. You know, it's incredible when you feel accepted like that. It's incredible when you're somebody who doesn't know anybody in this room, and you see others who you've never met before come up to you and just introduce themselves. It makes you feel noticed, like you matter. Isn't that what God did for us? We've been seen. We've been noticed. We matter. We are representatives of God's hospitality on this earth. I think as we are going to look at it, let's turn over to Hebrews 13 and we'll read verses 1 to 3. But next week is a perfect opportunity for you to really put this into practice back here in service. Right? We're going to have a whole lot of faces we may have seen before. Right? We've met a bunch of times with Lower Westchester. But maybe we haven't taken the time to really get to know them. Maybe we haven't taken the time to really warmly welcome them and embrace them the way that God has called us to. In Hebrews 13, verse 1, it says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, right? He says, keep on, assuming that we're doing it, which I think we are, right? Keep on doing it. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Wow. This is a real hospitality, empathy, seeing yourself, seeing the pains of other people, putting yourself in their shoes that God is calling us. I think one of the challenges is sometimes when we see somebody and we think, I don't know them, it's easy to not want to interact with them, right? There's a reason that the word strange is in stranger. What if they're strange? What if they're weird? What if they think I'm weird? What if I don't know what to say? What if I don't know how to act? You know, you sit here and you're like, oh, wow. But in the Old Testament, we see examples of men like Abraham, like Gideon, who welcomed people into their home, and guess what? They found out later on that those people that they welcomed into their home were actually angels in disguise. Now, I know what you're thinking. You might say, I know some of the people in my life. I know some of the people in Lower Westchester, and I'll tell you, they're not angels. No, you don't think that about your brother and sister, right? No, no way. But I don't know about you. I don't know. I don't know how this whole angel thing works and what they look like. They could just be here on a long-term, deep, undercover mission, and we wouldn't know. We could be offering hospitality to an angel. There could be an angel sitting in this room right now, and we wouldn't even know it. And so we got to offer hospitality to one another. If they're angels, great, we've shown hospitality to angels. If they're not, great, you've shown hospitality to your brother and sister. And that's a good place to be. By the way, I'm going to throw a little plug in here. Rebecca, in the Old Testament, her showing hospitality got her a husband. So there's a little extra motivation for some of us single folks out there for being hospitable. I know I've been saying this, so, right, open hearts. People who are open and loving and giving, open hearts have open homes. They welcome each other in. I mean, this is what we need to become, a region of hospitality. I feel like I've been saying the same thing in different ways, hoping that if you walk away from this message, you'll have the word hospitality just seared on your brain for you to think about this week. And so as we close out, this is what I want you to do. Next week, we have an opportunity to show our love and hospitality to the people in Lower Westchester and the people in our lives, right? I want you to take this week to pray about how we can act next Sunday in service, so that when people who it's their first time here, or if you know somebody from Lower Westchester, that they walk in and they say, wow, this is the most loving church I have ever seen in my whole life. This is a church that loves in biblical proportions. What do you think that would look like? And I'm not going to give you the answer to that because I think it's important for us to go back to have that time with God, to really pray about it and to put that into practice. If you already know somebody from Lower Westchester, I will give you one. Here's a simple thing you can do. You can call them this week and say, hey, I would love to have you over my house next Sunday after service. Please come to it. My house is open. My heart is open to give to you. And so as we close out, let's go to God in prayer one more time as we pray for our hearts to show hospitality to one another and to all the people that God has put in our lives. Amen. Dad, we are sorry for the times that we have been selfish, but we see the example of your son Jesus. How he gave his whole life, how he gave everything, just so that we could be welcomed with open arms into your home, into what is now our home, because you have made it our home. God, we know that you put no boundaries on your hospitality. When we get to heaven, if we want to put our feet up on the furniture, you're going to let us put our feet up on the furniture. If we forget to take our shoes off when we walk in the door, you're going to say, that's okay. There's no dirt here anyway. This is a holy house. This is a godly house. And I pray that we can live this week with deep love and hospitality. Loving people in a way that they feel loved. Welcoming people in a way that they feel loved. Teaching them the love of God and how He reaches out for each and every one of us. Let us be examples on this earth of the love that you have for us and the joy waiting for us in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.